Hi, I'm Adam Seltzer, author of I Kissed a Zombie and I Liked It, and The Smart Alex Guide to Grave Robbing, and you're listening to Made of Fail.
I'm done with the new music.
Hip-hoppy-wop-bop.
Made of Fail.
We were unpopular before it was cool.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
It makes sense now.
Yeah, it's all falling into place. Of course, that place is nowhere near this place.
Welcome to Made of Fail. I am Dana. With me, as always, is my co-host, George. Say hi, George.
Hi, George.
Oh, God. That hasn't been funny for 52 episodes. I'd ask how you're doing, but I live with you.
And I'd ask how you're doing, but, well, I already know.
Yes, shut up. Yeah, that has led to what I believe is a new, fun, and interesting problem that I didn't expect when I put you on as co-host, is that when Kevin was on, we hardly ever talked to each other, so we always had content and stuff to talk about, but I talked to you all the fucking time, so we never have anything to BS about.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the show. Sorry, people who loved witty banter. But we have guests on today. Wonderful, wonderful guests. Returning is the always lovely Alina Lee.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Alina.
Hello, Alina.
What is up, girl?
I miss Kevin.
God damn it.
I'm going to make up Team George shirts. George will be the only one that wears it.
But you're Team George.
No way.
I'd wear a Team Kevin shirt. What are you talking about?
We have an awesome, illustrious guest with us today. If everybody would please give a warm welcome to Adam Seltzer, author, ghost hunter, general all-around dude.
Okay.
What's up, Adam?
How you doing?
I am doing just fine and dandy. Welcome to Made of Fail.
Thanks.
Anyway, so I was sort of looking over this movie that's coming out next year. We were talking on Twitter about future topics for the show, and I was coming across, you know, this movie that's coming out, Warm Bodies, and I'm like, oh, I know who I'm going to get on that show. I'm going to get Cleo on that show for sure. It's a paranormal romance, you know, like Twilight,
yeah,
with zombies. And I'm like, huh.
What?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, didn't you just make me read a book about that?
Why, yes, I did. And what was the title?
Well, I believe that title was I Kissed a Zombie and I Liked It?
My goodness. And was it by our very own Adam Seltzer sitting right here in the non-studio?
I believe it was. Also, we have a studio.
Yeah, shut up. We got spit and duct tape. Anyway, so I've been promising that I was going to expose both Adam and George to the pictures of the upcoming Warm Bodies movie.
Wait, are the zombies the Warm Bodies? They should be cold, I would think.
No. The warm bodies are the ones that... All right, here's the synopsis.
Oh, okay. The zombies are looking for a warm body.
There you go. Here's the zombie. Warm Bodies follows a zombie named R. Yeah, I know. Who falls in love with Julie.
Hang on.
What?
Zombie named R? Is he a zombie pirate? Because that could be awesome.
did they change their names when they become zombies
they
or something?
They forget their names when they become zombies.
Oh, yeah, you're the only one who's read the book, haven't you? Weren't you?
I haven't, no, I haven't actually.
No, you haven't. Shit.
But you actually talked about it on the show before. I think it was the Kaylee episode?
Once or twice you mentioned. Yeah. But I wasn't on that episode, so.
I tried the sample chapter.
Oh, God, there was a sample chapter?
Well, Amazon does their, you know, look inside. And, yeah.
Oh,
it
my
actually
God.
Didn't start out that bad.
Wasn't it,
I don't
like,
know.
Isn't the first sentence, like, I am a zombie filled with love or something?
It wasn't filled with love. Look, at first it's just him in a group of other zombies, and it just kind of almost an exposition chapter on what it's like to be one of them.
Anyway, so it says he falls in love with Julie, a teen he rescues from his own zombie pack.
So they're both zombies.
Wait.
No, he's from zombies.
But zombies run in packs.
Oh, okay.
I'm beginning to think this was a werewolf novel that got converted to zombies after Twilight took off.
I don't even know.
Well, for a while they were saying werewolves were going to be the next big thing, just because logically, you know, what comes after vampires, what do we do next?
There's a book I want to read. It's called How to Kiss a Naked Werewolf. No, How to Flirt with a Naked Werewolf.
Okay.
Which is one of those paranormal romances that's supposed to be
Rub
a little...
yourself with meat. I don't know.
Shit, that's season 5 of True Blood coming up, I think.
Oh, everything is season something of True Blood.
I'm a naked vampire. I'm a naked werewolf, and that's the show. But anyway, so I'm going to get live reactions from George and Adam. Where do you see this fucking emo zombie guy? And I'm going to link this. I'm going to link this in the show notes because this is hysterical.
Loading.
Okay.
Oh, Google image search.
Oh, Jesus. Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
I can't seem to click on the link.
But do you
I'll just do Google. I'll just do Google image search.
Do you notice if you look at the
God.
The poster, it's like it's imitating the Twilight posters. It's got the
yes.
same composition.
I never thought I would see an emo zombie, but
and
it,
yes.
It looks. You see, that's how my zombie was supposed to look. They had to go make him look like he just might be a goth or something. well, in this case, they got him looking like Elliot. I have expecting to ride a bike with an alien in the basket. He's got the same hoodie.
I know.
He does.
They put him in this fancy-ass fucking hoodie. And he's
wait. Red hoodie. Oh, God. If they just needed to put him in a blue shirt and he'd be zombie Superman.
Oh, my God. He does kind of look like Tom Welling. Oh. It is the most ridiculous emo-looking zombie I've ever seen. Like, I've seen people dress like this at Neo.
Yeah,
Okay. It'd be...
It's the eyeliner that's doing it for me.
Exactly.
The red highlighter. I know somebody
red
dressed
eyeliner.
Like that.
And I don't
now know look,
if
you know,
natural eye color, but...
Maybe he died with it. Maybe it's coal.
You know, my other job is writing true crime. I talk about grave robbing a lot. I got more stories about what it looks like when you open up a coffin than I really know what to do with. I'm pretty sure you don't turn into the guy from My Chemical Romance. But you know, I also always say coffins are like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. This would be a new one, though.
Can you... I can't believe they're making... This is like... They're seriously trying to sell a zombie as a romantic lead, like, to teenagers.
Well, I did it.
You did, but you were
way more
hysterical.
I did it, but I wasn't taking it seriously. Yeah.
They're serious about it. Yeah, I kissed
well, I don't know. Everybody says the same thing when they look at my book. They say, oh, my God, this had better be a joke. Oh, my God, it's not a joke. I'm over in the corner going, yes, yes, please, please, it is. I really wanted to call it Dead Guys Have No Reason to Live. They never let me pick my own titles.
What was that one that you were working out on, the Satanic YA novel?
Oh, yeah, well, a while ago I got into a talk about Christian YA, and I thought, well, I'm going to write a satanic one. So I do have it written. It's either called Satan's Parents' Basement or Are You There, Satan? It's Me, Leon. But I don't know what's going to happen with it. It's a boy YA book for smart kids. That's not a market anymore.
No, but you can
unless your name is John Cain, in which case. Yeah, I might just do that or something. I don't want to get a reputation as the guy who will work for free, though. So...
Anyway, so yeah, why don't you, apparently this movie is going to be coming out, when does it say, 2013?
February 1st, 2013.
Yeah, that's going to be our...
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
I think we have our Valentine's Day episode planned out. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, yes.
Look, isn't it enough you have to make me watch fucking Breaking Dawn Part 2?
No, not yet.
Which, by the way, the trailer is coming out this month.
Oh, my God, it is.
March 26th.
I want to see all of the crack. They're going to have to, like, make up an ending for that, seriously.
Actually, no, it goes online Tuesday, March 20th at 3 a.m.
That's hilarious.
6 a.m.
Eastern. Oh, London. Don't worry. Everybody who follows Clea Linda is...
Yeah, well, we'll know about it. I feel so sorry for her, and in
oh, no.
two senses of the word.
She's going to see it. you know.
Oh, she's going to see it, but what's she going to do when it's over?
Probably write a That Which We Shall Not Speak Of about it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But once that's over, I mean...
Do a Made a Fail episode about it.
You're not grasping my point here.
There'll always be something. There will always be something.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk more about Adam, who did this shit first.
Yes.
Like, no
yes.
credit.
Let's talk about Adam's book.
Okay, well, about 10 years ago, I wrote a song called I Thought She Was a Goth, But It Turned Out She Was Dead. And in 2009, I guess it was, my publisher called and said, hey, we want to have a zombie romance book where the person kind of gradually realizes that their significant other is a zombie. Could you do that really fast? And I said, well, I already wrote the song. I don't know how well that would work as a book, because really, how stupid would the person have to be? And that became the challenge for me, is how to write a smart book out of such a stupid concept. And I figured as long as I can make fun of Twilight a little bit, I can at least have fun with it. So I set up this world where it turns out that zombies and vampires are real. Mega Mart was raising up zombies to use as slave labor in their stock rooms. The vampires sort of came out of the coffin, as it were. And now there are these emo vampires moping around every high school, but all the girls love them. Except Allie, who is kind of how I imagined Dorothy Parker would have been at 16. Brilliant, funny, but kind of a pain in the ass to be around.
You know, you say you're making fun of Twilight a little bit, but your opening line is watching a vampire make out with an idiot.
Yeah, well, the YA book bloggers noticed I was making fun of Twilight? Maybe 20%.
Really?
How?
Watching a vampire make out with an idiot. I mean, you, like, put up a sign right at the beginning.
Dude, this came out in 2010. I mean, this is right at, like, the height of the whole thing.
Right. I was afraid they were going to get really upset at me. Almost none of them were, but basically none of them quite realized that I was making fun of them.
Wow.
There was one thing that said I felt like, at times I felt like he was lecturing girls who wish they had a vampire boyfriend and calling them an idiot. I was like, well, yeah.
yeah, kind of the point there.
Yeah, I made public service announcement videos to that effect.
Which, by the way,
we
will link, because those are hysterical. I saw those.
Yeah. But when I started your book, I mean, I knew it was a parody, but I thought it would be a parody romance. But it's really more of a novel about growing up, you know, and Allie's development.
Yeah, kind of her development as a human being from this really kind of horrible ice queen who, you know, finds love in a weird place, and then it just becomes a sad romance book. I wanted to deal with all of the relationship issues that they never really deal with in YA, like how much of your life should you really give up for your first significant other. So we're really hung up right now on this thing where every book has to be a girl who's just like you, loves her first boyfriend forever and ever despite his terrible secret, and is based on the author. Which is pretty much what's driving the market these days.
So you No. Sweetie, you're in very good company here. We've had many, many, many making fun of Twilight episodes.
Yeah.
So many.
Of course, we call it the Cleo Lindo effect.
The Cleo Lindo effect.
Yeah, shimmer here.
I'll actually say this. I found the Allie growing up parts to be really sincere, because it really rang true. Like, you have this teenager who values the snark for itself, but doesn't really have the human touch behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And her progression to the end. You know, if you cut out all the making fun and even the paranormal stuff, like, that's still a sincere, you know, theory. Yeah,
there is a sincere love story behind it. There's some sincere issues to deal with and growing up to do.
Mm.
And then just realizing that you can't just sit back and make fun of the world forever.
Yes,
well, you can, but... Well, you know, hasn't
stopped
me.
Like you're telling us that we're not going to have a show in a few months.
Well...
Shut up.
What I want to mention about your book, Adam, is that I was greatly intrigued by the universe you created, in that, you know, vampires kind of came out of the coffin, as you put it. All sorts of other supernatural or preternatural creatures came out and acknowledged, and the world continued on.
Well, yeah, as it would.
Yeah. It's something that seems kind of obvious, and yet it doesn't get played around with nearly enough. And I was very grateful that somebody finally, you know, put together an actual logical, almost... I'm losing words here, Dana. Help me out here.
All I can think of is, George, you just never, ever thought of True Blood when you were trying to form that sentence at all.
Well, no, because, quite frankly, True Blood is rather unbelievable.
Yes. Sort of the point.
In as much that I have more ability to suspend my disbelief with Adam's book than I do with True Blood.
Well, it's probably because I Kissed a Zombie didn't really sit there and dwell on, like, ooh, vampires, and society has changed forever, and blah, 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 sociopolitical, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like, eh, they're there.
Yeah, well, also, well, you know, there's issues to deal with, but, you know, the world just moves on, you know?
Yeah.
The world keeps spinning.
It's also the fact that I keep thinking when I'm watching True Blood, it's like, I've played this before. Vampire the Masquerade, yes, I've played this many times.
Did you swoop from trees?
I did
throw
not.
Throw chops? You know, calling it throwing chops does not make paper, rock, scissors cooler.
No,
wait,
doesn't.
What?
Live action Vampire the Masquerade, they Rochambeau.
Okay.
For skill checks.
George?
Yes?
I love you very much. You LARPers are weird.
Is that the LARPing equivalent of an RNG?
RNG?
Random number generator.
Pretty much.
It's the loot roll of vampire.
Yeah. There's many different ways LARPers use to simulate skill checks. Rochambeau is probably the safest of them, quite frankly.
Just can't even.
Because the other option is the famous lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, and...
Two damage.
You know,
foam
swords.
Could just throw diplomacy against a dire rat.
Hey, shut up. Will Wheaton loves me for that.
Will Wheaton still remembers you for that.
To this day. Which is awesome. But anyway, Adam, I want to know, like, how much of yourself did you really put into Allie there? Like,
into Allie? Some.
Yeah.
Some. I make it a point of trying not to have all of my characters just be me, or I'd only ever do a couple of different books. There's certainly some of me in there. I was pretty snarky. She has similar, not the same musical taste as me, but similar. I'm not as big a Leonard Cohen fan as she is, but I understand Leonard Cohen fans pretty well. So, I loved it when somebody accused me of saying that I thought she would know who Leonard Cohen is because he was popular when I was in high school.
Like, what?
Whoa, okay.
Yeah,
nobody
Leonard
has
Cohen
never
was
seen...
really big with the kids in the 90s, you know. While he was off in a Buddhist temple or something the whole time.
I thought that was, what, Cat Stevens?
He was Muslim.
Oh, that's right.
Cohen became a Buddhist monk for a little while.
That's awesome.
Yep. Well, he certainly has a singing style for it.
Mm.
But see, here's the thing, and this is not meant as like a ripping on you thing. But the thing is, I didn't really find Allie very realistic up until the ending.
Really?
I've read a couple of your other books with Leon.
Okay.
The Pirates of the Retail Wasteland and How to Get Suspended and Influence People. Mm-hmm. And I really like I never find them like believable as high schoolers.
Yeah.
It just seems a little. Two, we know what we're talking about, you know, and teenagers don't know shit about shit, so. But yeah. I think...
Well, they like to think they do.
The right. Stories that you tell are really good. It's just, I have a tendency to be like, the characters aren't quite ringing stupid enough for me. So take that as a sort of compliment.
Well, I'm always being told the dumb stuff. I need to dumb stuff down.
You don't need to dumb stuff down, just kind of maybe the characters a little bit.
Right.
Because they're just too self-aware. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay, that's
I've
fair.
Never met a high schooler who was that self-possessed and self-aware. Ever.
See, I found Allie believable enough, and just not likable, but then I realized that was kind of the point of her. Is to, she's not a likable person in the beginning. She's too much of a teenager. She's obnoxious. And the point of the book is for her to understand that she was being obnoxious.
But then she really
adored her.
I think that via her relationship with Doug, her zombie, she sort of like took stock of her own life, because the whole thing was, like you said, it was a metaphor for how much of your life do you want to give up? Mm. And in her case, it would mean dying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All of it.
And becoming a zombie.
Yeah.
And when you do something like that in a relationship, you pretty much do sort of like surrender your life to that person. And that's just really, it's a bad trend that I've been seeing. It's a bad trend that I've been seeing in YA lately. And I think this really, this book just needed to be written.
Well, thanks.
But also, like, how it was an exploration of, you know, she's so in love with him, and so she thinks they're so perfect together. They like the same music, but the end it was like, but what did we really have in common except the same music? And because that's so true of immature relationships, right? You Ooh. Think you don't understand that there's so much more to
life experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, death experience, Bella.
It has to go beyond he likes the way my blood smells.
Right.
That's going to fizzle out pretty fast.
Our brains in this case.
We are brains.
No, there was blood smell too, I think.
Yeah, the vampires like the way her blood smells.
Wilhelm, yeah.
Yeah, Will and Fred.
Yeah, there was a line towards the end that just really, it was live enough for everyone in here who didn't get to.
Yeah, that's the original moral of the Corpse Bride story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I didn't
the old Jewish folktale.
There's a folktale Corpse
Bride? The Corpse Bride was an old Jewish folktale.
Tell a story. I want to hear it.
Well, it's also a lesson about why you should take vows very seriously. A guy was walking around trying to remember how to pronounce his wedding vows, put his ring down on what he thought was a twig to practice saying it out loud. It turned out the twig was a bone and the Corpse Bride came to life. And his actual bride that he was supposed to marry had to convince the Corpse Bride that, you know, I'll live enough for both of us, I'll have enough babies for both of us, etc. Goes back to the time when it was a real danger for Jewish brides on their way to their wedding to be ransacked and murdered on the way.
Fun!
Yep, back in Russia. That's what my great-grandparents ran away from. I don't know if they ran away from it or got kicked out of it, but...
Yeah, mine
worked out okay for me in the end.
I didn't get out of there till I was 13.
Speak Russian at us.
Don't do the say something. It's like, oh my god, do I?
Do your
can I go on a rant about how much I hate the say something?
Do it.
Ooh. Say nuclear wessels.
Shut up.
I'm kidding.
You're an asshole.
Kinda, yeah.
Am I allowed to swear on air?
Yes.
Please.
Fuck you, George.
That would be a first. I mean, what? But anyway.
I'm sorry. We got sidetracked, but I actually have a question for Adam.
Go for
okay.
it.
The guidance counselor, was she...
Oh, Mrs. Smollett.
Was she just a straight metaphor for, you know, racism, for being non-accepting of interracial dating?
Sort of. She's shown up in many of my books. She wasn't always a vampire, but she was in the two Leon books, How to Get Suspended and Influence People, and Pirates of the Retail Wasteland, is just the mean conservative guidance counselor who thinks that the best way to challenge gifted pool kids is to give them crossword puzzles. And then they gave me like 2 weeks to write I Kissed a Zombie and I Liked It, so I figured I'd throw in some old characters. I thought it would be really funny if she was a vampire all along. If she was actually Victorian, it would explain a lot.
Wait, you did that in 2 weeks?
Yeah, they gave me like 2 weeks to write it, 2 weeks
to
edit it.
You have no idea how prolific this motherfucker is.
Jesus, dude. I'm in awe.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got lucky. I've never been able to write a book that fast another time, other than some nonfiction stuff, which I have to crank out really fast now and then. But that's easy enough. The story's already there with nonfiction.
I just can't get over to it. You can hear every other aspiring author in our audience sitting there, like, gnashing their teeth and waiting.
Oh, man.
It was kind of a fun thing. Usually there's, like, a 3-year turnaround time. This book, I started writing it in March, and at the end of June, I already had an advanced copy.
Jesus Christ.
That's pretty rare, though. But it also gives them not enough time to really do the marketing properly or figure out what the audience is going to be. So, you know, if I go into a school and say, hey, kids, here's a book where I make fun of Twilight, every boy and half of the girls want to read it. But those same people, though, if they just saw it in the store, they would say, no way would I be caught dead with a book like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the cover I saw is kind of...
I thought it was kind of funny.
I think it's kind of funny. Well, the trouble I had with it is I go to great pains in the book just saying Doug just looks like a goth, you know. In this world where vampires are the biggest thing on high school campuses, goth is kind of the style of the day. So even, like, the douchebags are going around dressing up like goths. So
I would have killed to see that back in 1997.
Yeah. God, yes. I would have loved to have seen some of my football teams just dressing up with
eyeliner.
That was an episode of Glee.
Yeah, but I really wanted to make it so it was plausible that she could conceivably not realize the guy was a zombie right away if he just kind of looked like a goth. But then on the cover, you know, there's no way you could possibly be mistaken as to that guy being a zombie. So a lot of people, like, read the back of the book and said, so this girl's supposed to be smart, but how could she possibly? boy.
Yeah,
I like the cover, too, myself. But just certain parts of it ended up backfiring on us, I guess.
Yeah, he is kind of gray.
Yeah, gray and decayed looking.
You know what I liked? I liked that her friends were kind of like a representative sample of Twilight people. There's the ones who hate it, the ones who really love it, and then the ones who enjoy it but aren't rabid fans about it. So the friends are kind of like that with their attitudes towards the undead and dating them.
Well, that's right. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
I just like that they were kind of a representation of the Algonquin Hotel from the...
Yes, thank you. Somebody finally picked that up. her name's Algonquin. One of her friends is Benchley. They're called the Vicious Circle. They sit around the lunch table talking about school newspaper stuff. Nobody really picked up the Dorothy Parker references.
For those of you who don't know what the Algonquin Hotel is, Google search that shit. Because those are some of the most vicious yet funniest quotes you will ever hear or see. Ooh.
Wait, isn't that the hotel that has the ragdoll cat as its live-in mascot? That's the only thing I know because I own ragdoll cats.
I had one once.
Look, it's a cat on the internet. We're now all distracted.
Kitties, where?
Well, normally on my table, but I've got all the shit on my table, so she can't sit here right now.
I had a ragdoll for a while. I hated that fucking thing. I
shut up.
Dust a TV one time. I'm sorry.
Wait, are we talking about an actual, like, doll or
actual,
a cat?
No, an actual cat. She was a bitch. I just picked her up and went, like, just for a second. It was the only mean thing I ever did to that cat. I found her a home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, stop. You know how much I love kitties. I would never hurt one. She was just a bitch.
God, but anyway, you know, I annotated the shit out of your book, and now I don't know what half these highlights were about. I don't.
You wrote on the pages!
I highlighted in the Kindle.
Ah! Oh, on Kindle.
So nothing of value was lost.
Hey. I can see people, like, actually taking a highlighting marker going over their Kindle.
Like I said, and nothing of value was lost.
Anyway, Adam, you were talking about grave robbing. You've got some really weird side jobs, as opposed.
Yeah, I know enough about grave robbing that my neighbors are kind of reluctant to come to my barbecues.
tell some stories how you got into it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into writing, how you got into the whole ghost story thing.
Okay, well, I got a job in the ghost tour business, and every tour somebody asked me, how did you get into this? And I'm supposed to be like the guys on TV and say, I never believed in none of this stuff till one day. But really, I thought ghosts were cool when I was a kid because I watched Scooby-Doo and In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. And so one thing kind of led to another. I started writing stuff about this kind of stuff on the side. Ghost, death, disease, drowning, destruction, dismay, dismemberment, disfiguration, decapitation, defenestration, decomposition. And a couple of years ago, I did a book for Random House called The Smart Alex Guide to American History that did pretty well. It got nominated for a YALSA, but it didn't really sell all that well because YA nonfiction that's not about your changing body or how to succeed in college is not a real market. When stores have it all, it's next to picture books about the first Thanksgiving. So Random House didn't want to do another Smart Alex guide, but they told me I could just trademark the brand and go do whatever I wanted. So I decided I'd do a really out of left field follow-up. So I did the Smart Alex Guide to Grave Robbing. It's everything you need to know to launch your career as a 19th century resurrection man the Smart Alex way. And of course, this is Chicago. We had plenty of medical schools here in the 19th century, so grave robbing was a really big problem around here. Not as big as like Ann Arbor, but we were quite the grave robbing hub for a while there. People were paying, you know, $30 a corpse at a time when most people were making $1 a day in the coal mines, and a good grave robber can get 5 or 6 corpses a night.
So much more lucrative.
Politicians, I mean, it's Chicago. They needed the votes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the city sexton, the cemetery manager, is probably the lowest job on the Chicago government totem pole. But boy, did he get kickbacks from grave robbers!
So much more lucrative than the .com boom.
Yes.
And you were saying you do ghost tours.
Yeah, I take people around on a big black bus around Chicago to places that are supposed to be haunted. I tell them the stories, and then they go out and look for ghosts.
What's the absolute weirdest shit that you've come across?
Weirdest shit that I've come across.
One or two stories. I like
stories. Well, there was the time we heard a gunshot go off in the ballroom of the Congress Hotel. That was pretty weird.
Oh,
you know, I'm always pretty skeptical about this kind of stuff. I'm not in the business of trying to prove to people that ghosts are real. I don't think you can do that anyway. But now and then we do come across stuff that I absolutely cannot explain. There was the night we went to the H.H. Holmes body dump on the north side. This was the guy, if you've read Devil in the White City, he's America's first known serial killer, possibly the most prolific, depending on who you believe. We were backing the bus up. It was a night when the windows were all fogged up, so we couldn't see anything. And we hit something. I mean, we felt the thud. The bus stopped moving. And I was afraid that the idiot driver I was driving with at the time had hit a tree or something. So, you know, or maybe a car. But a couple of people in the back said, no, that was a woman back there. So I freaked out thinking I was going to have to go to jail for this guy. We ran out to the back behind the bus. There was nothing anywhere near us. No footprints in the snow, nothing. So it's the kind of story you hear around. You know, people say that they've hit a girl by Resurrection Cemetery. Then you get out and there's nothing there.
They actually did a movie set in, like, around St. Charles called Munger Road. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. That is a real road, though.
Yeah, but it's nowhere near St. Charles. But, yeah, that's my hometown. That's where I grew up. I lived there for, like, 25 years. I'd never heard that story. But it's your basic indie film, you know, stupid ghost story about how if you cross the there's a different story, like, for every two people who hear about it. But it's like you cross the tracks, you put some powder on your bumper,
they'll push you. They have that in many, many, many cities.
Yeah, it's so old and lame. But they made, like, a whole horror movie about it. And I'm like, this looks like the world's worst train wreck, and I have to see it. And I have never – I mean, I'm in New Orleans right now. There's no way in hell I'm going to be able to see that thing. So I'm waiting for it to hit DVD so I can, you know, get it and check it out. Or Netflix. I don't think it's going to go on Netflix.
Have you seen some of the shit on Netflix lately?
Not yet, but I've got them all in my queue.
You've seen... I know you've seen, because of Chuck, the ICP cowboy movie. So.
Jesus fucking Christ, why is that there?
Because Chuck. But anyway.
ICP made a fucking cowboy movie. I don't even... Fucking lassos, how do they work? Oh, man.
But it will end up on Netflix someday, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I was just, like, looking at the trailer, and I'm like, ooh, there's the Hotel Baker. Ooh, there's downtown St. Charles tonight. Ooh, I know where that coffee house is. Hey, that's the Starbucks.
Hey, I drove by there once.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it was really, and it takes place around the Scarecrow Festival. And there's, like, two cops in the entire town. I don't fucking even know. Oh, it's hysterical and riddled with errors, and that's just the trailer. And I'm sitting there like, I love it. I need to see this. I mean, who the fuck sets a movie in St. Charles, Illinois, anyway?
Isn't it fun to recognize a city, like, your city in a film?
You have no idea how hard it was for me to see Hatchet with Carl, because it was the last movie filmed here in New Orleans before
Dana,
Katrina.
Dana. I live in Toronto. My city is in every movie.
Yeah, true enough.
Most of the ones about Chicago is just Toronto. Gotham City, though, that's us.
Yeah, I thought they filmed Dark Knight Rises in Philly, though.
Yeah, they...
Yeah.
That's horse shit. I'm sitting there, like, looking at Batman, like, in Dark Knight. I'm sitting there like, oh, there's Lower Wacker Drive, and I'm like, yeah.
Yep, we went and spied on him filming it many times. I got to see Batman on his cell phone. Which he keeps in his, you know where he keeps it? Utility belt.
Of course he does.
I refuse to see any movie with my hometown in it.
Which one is your hometown?
Miami.
Yeah. I
How many stupid fucking movies do you think are set in Miami?
Not many. I don't know.
It's where you get all the, you know, beach movies, the fucking Bad Boys, the goddamn True Lies was Miami.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just see that again.
Not the city where I was born is kind of famous because that's where the last royal family was murdered. So okay. That's what makes it fun. Yep.
Alina, is there something you'd like to tell us?
No.
She's not that old, jackass.
No.
No, I'm really that ancient.
Anyway. You are also musically inclined, dear Adam.
Sometimes. I have a new band called the Back Row Hooligans. We like to think of it as children's music for really well-adjusted kids. Songs include...
Are there any of those left?
I should hope.
Still looking for one.
Songs like Drink Your Juice or You'll Get Scurvy. Straight
oh,
out of daycare.
Sing us a
oh, there once was a girl named Emily Murphy who wouldn't drink her juice. She always told her mother, I can't stand the taste of fruits. And one day these big purple spots appeared on Emily's side. She started losing all her teeth and she very nearly died. So drink your juice or you'll get scurvy. Drink your juice like Emily Murphy. Drink your juice or you'll get scurvy, kids.
You hear that, Dana? Drink your juice.
Shut up. I'm allergic to fruit.
I know.
How do you not have scurvy?
I take a lot of vitamin C supplements.
Okay.
Oh, fucking A. That was awesome. What are you working on right now?
Right now, a bunch more true crime stuff. I just finished up a new middle grade novel. I got another YA that I sent to my agent sent out a while ago. Mostly nonfiction this year. It's going to be a nonfiction year for me, I think.
Wait. Is the middle grade novel a true crime novel?
No. Well, it's based on a lot of the research I do, though. It's got a lot of Chicago history and mysteries stuff. Mm-hmm. It sort of goes around my this one theory I've got. Well, our most famous ghost here is Resurrection Mary. If people pick her up on the south side, and then she vanishes as you drive past Resurrection Cemetery. So I got... this plan to all you got to do is
Adam,
you pick her up and then you
Adam,
don't
Adam,
drive
Adam.
Past what, sorry
you cut out completely there for about
did I really
yeah
am I back
maybe
now?
He's Resurrection Mary, he disappeared from our podcast.
Okay, where shall I start?
Just start with the Resurrection Mary story.
Okay, well, the most famous ghost in Chicagoland is Resurrection Mary. She's one of those vanishing hitchhikers. People pick her up, and then when you drive by Resurrection Cemetery, she disappears. So the book is based around my plan to kidnap her. All you have to do is pick her up, and then don't drive by Resurrection Cemetery.
Then what will you do with her?
Well, that's kind of the thing. It's kind of I gotta have a Sunset Boulevard thing going in this particular book. But I'm superstitious about talking too much about new ones. Do you know there's a follow up to I Kissed a Zombie out?
Oh,
get
really?
Out! Plug it!
Yeah, it is. Am I still on?
Yeah.
Okay. It is called Extraordinary: The True Story of My Fairy Godparent Who Almost Killed Me and Certainly Never Made Me a Princess. I wanted to call it Fairy Godmofo, but they didn't work really well. Definitely not Fairy Godmotherfucker either. But the idea is my wife told me she was sick of all these books where girls just have to go to the dance or they'll die. So I decided, okay, what if she really would die because her fairy godmother was an asshole like that? So I set the whole thing about 3 years after I Kissed a Zombie, but in the same town, the same world. It's rather than just doing a follow-up about Allie, I did one about the girl who bought Doug's car, Doug the Zombie's car, afterwards. And one day she's out, she meets this guy who's her new drama teacher and starts showing up everywhere going, yeah, kiddo, I'm your fairy godmother. And I got news for you. You're going to kiss the vampire at your high school dance. Otherwise, you'll die. You can't back out of this deal. You know, that's not the way the pee dribbles here in Fairyland. And just to prove he's for real, he gets her a unicorn in the backyard, but neglects to tell her that early humans actually tried to exterminate unicorns because their excrement smells so bad. So I really just wanted to have a big excuse to have the big climactic scene in the novel where they're rolling through the streets of Des Moines in a Wells Fargo wagon full of unicorn shit shouting lines from Henry V.
There need to be more writers like you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it takes place a few years later. By then, you know, the goth, you know, vampires are still around, but the goth thing is basically over. The whole I just have to date a vampire thing is the whole I just have to date a vampire thing is so 3 years ago. But they're still around.
Well, now I'm looking forward to seeing how the vampires deal with that now that they just can't get pussy at will.
I have a question. Who would she buy the car from if Doug is dead? Would it go to his parents?
Estate auction.
Huh. Okay. Because his parents are like somewhere, right? They moved.
His parents are off. They moved away, and they didn't realize he was a zombie. He didn't want to try to contact them. He didn't want them to know. But he would have known. I mean, the whole vampire attack on the prom was the kind of thing that makes the news. So.
See, now I'm curious. Now I want to read about like what happens in a world where zombies were cool and aren't anymore. What do they do now?
Now they're just kind of having to deal with it. I mean, the girl in the new one. If you've ever read my first middle grade ones, I put a spell on you, which was about a spelling bee, but all based on Watergate. I always wanted to use those kids again, so I put them like 6 years older into this book. And one of them is going to what they call the human post-human alliance meeting, where they deal with, you know, the political stuff about post-human rights. And there's some good vampires on the group and some bad vampires, and they all complain about the Victorians. The 18th century vampires are usually pretty cool. Yeah. It was not as repressive a time back then.
Not as repressive in the Victorian.
Not as repressive as the Victorians. I mean, you read an 18th century novel, it's all sex and poop jokes.
Well, it's sort of like how you know,
which is actually where I got Mrs. Smollett's name. It's from Tobias Smollett, whose books
I've
are
noticed
full
that the people, the cultures who are like the most socially repressed or whatever, have the weirdest fucking porn. Like, have you noticed that? Like, I've noticed this. Like, the World War II axis, you got Italy, Germany, and Japan. They were all like, you know. America kicked their ass, and now we're buying their porn.
Why didn't that happen to Russia? Russia doesn't have interesting porn.
Russia was the good guys, weren't they?
Yeah, but we're kind of repressed. They were repressed. Remember, we're the country that says we have no sex.
We were afraid they were going to be the bad guys any minute.
Brain's not working. Okay, so we'll... I forgot what I was going to say. Shit. I lost my train of thought. Does anybody have anything to pick up?
Adam.
Can I plug my other new one before I go?
Yeah. We're really sorry you got to leave. Like,
I got to go out and do a couple of tours. But I have another one out under the name S.J. Adams.
Sparks?
Sparks. It's about a Full House obsessed girl who's in love with her religious best friend, so she joins a made-up religion and goes off on a holy quest through a side of Des Moines she never saw before. It's a John Hughes-esque story.
I really, really want that. That's totally on my wish list.
Oh, I love the cover.
Just browsing Amazon ads.
Yes, I am. We're on the internet.
We are? Holy shit.
Say hi to the internet, Dana.
Hi, internet, Dana.
That wasn't
See? How do you like it, jackass?
I like it just fine. Thank you.
Adam, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
I'm really sorry we couldn't have you longer, but...
Anytime you want to do it again, I'm around.
Oh, maybe we'll bring you back next year for the movie. We'll make you see it, and then we'll compare and contrast. Oh, come on. We'll introduce you to the lovely Cleolinda Jones. I love you, Cleo! No, I think it would be a really interesting... I really want to introduce them now. Just sit back and let the snark fly.
And especially since she's done so much research about, you know, The Devil in the White City, the book, and the subject matter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I can... Yeah, boy, are you talking to the right guy.
Yeah, no, they'll have a blast. That's a...
Must introduce them. We'll be best friends forever.
Yes.
All right, well, I got to go take people out to that guy's body dump a couple of times. So
alrighty.
Guys, a little bit later.
Enjoy your ghosts, enjoy your corpses, enjoy your people.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
All right. All right.
Bye, Adam.
That was fun.
That was fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So, Alina, you're all ours now.
The serious guest is gone. We can now... Not try to sound like we know what we're talking about.
Oh, good. I can take my pants off now. I mean, what?
You were wearing pants.
You were wearing pants?
You're home. Of course I'm wearing pants.
No, you're wearing shorts.
Well, boxers, technically.
Boxers.
George, go out and check.
No, I don't have a wireless microphone anymore.
I'll sit here and, like, just strip naked just to make him cringe.
You know I have to cook for you later, right?
I mean, I love you, George.
If both of you were naked, who would horrify whom the most?
Ah, I don't want to know.
There's your winner.
Oh, God, you're like the Noel of this episode.
I'm like the Noel generally, except I have a vagina.
The female
just like
Noel.
Just like Noel. I mean, what?
I think Carl can prove you differently on that one.
What? But wait, what? No, I was saying Noel had a vagina. What the hell?
Yes.
Oh, this is a
story
we missed
here. No, yeah. So for Mardi Gras, Noel sent me a picture, and I'm like, no, because last year I had to look at your hairy man tits. I'm not even opening this. So Carl's.
Pissed. Oh yeah.
I'm like, okay, you look at it. You tell me what it is. And so he opens it, gets this horrified look on his face, then laughs hysterically. He's like, okay, I'm closing it now. So he closes it. I just delete it. I've never looked at it. Turns out it wasn't his tits.
No, it wasn't. Luckily for the rest of the world, he tweeted it.
He did not.
What? He did, because I was dying to know what he sent you. And then he was like, you're not going to look at it in email, so here it is. And I was like clicking on that link.
What? What?
Awesome.
What?
What?
What? Yeah. Wait, are you talking about last year or this year?
This year.
He tweeted that?
Well, that's, like, whatever it was, that email that horrified you, I'm pretty sure, because I remember you talking about Mardi Gras and tits, and then he was like, you need to see this anyway, Dana. I remember that tweet.
I deliberately did not click it, so I forgot that he did that. Okay. Where did he host that was able to...
Pornhub.
Oh, do you want me to go into Twitter's advanced search? I might not come out for a while.
No, just no. Speaking of not coming up for a while and Noel's job.
Let's rapidly move away from this topic.
Far, far, far away. He's not even here and he's squicking me.
Well, do you remember what we were going to call the podcast when we took it over?
No.
We were going to do Cthulhu Cunnilingus, the getting head from the Eldritch Abomination.
Why?
Ins and outs of tentacle porn, do you remember?
Talk. There's a reason sometimes I really love my bad short-term memory. This is one of those times. Jesus Christ, never having you guys on again.
Never at the same time.
Never at the same time. You go over on I Hate Love Remakes and you tentacle porn all you want.
Yeah.
It will be
glorious. Evie.
Evie's unsquickable.
I think between those two, it would finally happen.
I don't know. Challenge.
Challenge
delivered.
Let's do an American movie that my deprived Russian ass has seen. We'll do that challenge.
Oh, God. Anyway, but speaking of you and Noel and George and everybody, hey, guess what? Episode 3 of Galilea is out. Woohoo! Made a fail part time. And you wrote it. Were you so happy?
Oh my God, I wouldn't believe. I was so proud of myself.
For any new listeners we may have picked up, Made a Fail Productions does a Star Trek radio drama called Star Trek Galilea. And if you go to galilea.madeafail.net, which, by the way, we'll link in the show notes, it's had some pretty decent plot development. Alina, you introduced the Borgs in this one, or the threat of the Borg, or the possible threat of the Borg.
Right. I mean, Kevin is still the story director, so Kevin is the one who had the general plot outline. Kevin, Noel, and I do a round-robin style of writing the plot, the actual episodes. Let that not scare anyone away, because I swear to God, there isn't any Borg porn. and actually, I'm serious. This is not like an attempt to troll anybody into it. But we have tons of fun. We have screaming writers meeting at each other, because Adam's there too. And then we somehow create this thing. It's been kind of, and people are so great about it and so excited to audition for voice actors that, yeah, it's been really, really nice.
Yeah, so far in the plot, we've basically had the science ship Galilea has been sent out to sort of facilitate first contact with this Class M planet. And the Romulans are the one who are going to be initiating first contact, and that's not going very well, because apparently there's Borg technology on this planet, or so the Romulans say.
Yeah.
And it gets
dun dun dun.
So it's a pretty interesting premise, and I advise everybody to go check out Star Trek Galileo as soon as they can.
Especially since Dana has a role, and it's.
Wow, they cast me as a horrible bitch. That was a stretch.
I'd complain about typecasting if I were you.
No, I think I think I did pretty well playing a self-entitled harpy. All I have to do to prepare for the role is to play low-level dungeons in fucking Warcraft.
And abuse poor JD.
And get really pissed off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fun playing Dr. Krasinski. She's such a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
I hate her. But it's I get to channel my anger in creative ways.
And for any Star Trek listener, I swear to God, it wasn't some sort of, you know, fan hate play on Dr. Pulaski, because I know nobody liked her. Did anybody like her?
I thought she was okay, but I missed Crusher.
Kevin just came up, Kevin came up with Dr. Krasinski as a male character originally, but it wasn't really gender specific.
Yeah.
Dana just happened to fit so well.
I'm sorry. He actually had to tell me to tone down the anger and be more like, you know, snooty.
To be fair, you had a lot of rage built up in you at that point.
I had pugged so many bad groups. I just now started a paladin tank because I got so sick of, you know, waiting for tank queues. Now I understand why tanks are so cranky all the fucking time. Nobody listens and everybody pulls.
Dana. How much are you looking forward to Pokemon and World of Warcraft?
I'm probably not even going to participate
to
be honest with you. Well, yeah, with pet battles in Mists of Pandaria, that's, yeah. Oh, and incidentally, there's supposed to be a big, huge Mists of Pandaria press junket,
yeah.
15th through the 15th, so we'll finally start getting news about that, so we'll probably talk about that,
next month.
Nah, we already got next month's episode planned, maybe in May.
Right. It's April.
It's possible I'll be in the beta by May. I don't know when the beta is actually coming out, but
you
I saw in the year pass.
Yeah, same here. So
I got my mount. I'm getting Diablo 3 for free, and I'm like, I'm not even going to play it.
Although, I mean, we'll pay more in the monthly fees than Diablo 3 costs, but
it doesn't matter. It's still a free game, but I'm sitting there like, I'm not even going to play it. It's going to completely go to waste.
Plus, we also have to find a computer that can actually play it around here.
I can play it.
I can't wait for Diablo 3. If they push it back again, I could play Dr. Krasinski if they push it back again.
You stay out of my role. You have your own rules.
Yeah, Romulan Scout number one. Woohoo!
Hey, Romulan Scout number one is very, very important. To Scout
Kevin
number
gave
two.
Me all the
almost,
actual Romulan
almost as important as Romulan number two.
George, I love how you're trying so hard to like alter your voice, and it ends up sounding like you're choking on something.
He asked me to do a different voice, and I decided to go nasally.
It didn't work very well.
I know.
I love you. But we got, oh my God, we have a British Q, and it, like, he
amazing.
The fangirls that he's getting from this.
Oh, you know, when I got to write for him, I was like, I was writing to Kevin an email. I was like, I get to write for Q!
Q's got to be so much fun to write.
Oh, and then he was on Twitter, he was like, you gave me props.
Sorry. He's like, it wasn't even an apple, it was celery.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gav's wonderful. But what do we have coming up in Galilea? Just to tease the audience.
Oh, Ken's gonna fire me.
No,
you know what?
Don't give away major plot points. Just
I will.
Tease.
I won't give away a name, but I will tell you this: we are going to have a guest star, so to say, that is related to Noel.
What?
Oh, Jesus!
What?
And it's going to be glorious. I'm telling you, we cast a role recently in this. The new
just
episode.
Tell me what episode. See, I don't even get all the scripts. I only
the next one.
The episode that I'm in.
Episode 4. It was written by Kevin. Wait.
Okay, so I have the script.
Yeah, and it had had a new character added.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that the one that was Aloysius' pseudonym, the third? That he couldn't cast and then cast at the last minute?
Maybe?
I don't know. It's hilarious, though. Kevin's little pseudonyms.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sitting there, like, looking at the script?
Possibly. I need to pull it up because I don't remember.
That's what she said.
I haven't looked at it.
George, what have you been doing with your life? Tell the listeners.
There's parts I can't tell. So we'll go with Star Trek Online.
Speaking of Star Trek.
Yes, I'm having so much fun when I get the opportunities to play it.
What? Have they, like, done anything with it? Because all I know is that it went free to play, and then all of a sudden I lost half my guild.
They're doing a... one of the good things about Star Trek Online is the fact that... usually every couple months or so, what they'll do is they'll put together a group of episodes, featured episodes, that it's kind of like a storyline that you get to play through.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there are good rewards for it and such. Not really. It's in equating it to WoW. I put Star Trek and WoW. Star Trek is very much a single player game with multiplayer options.
Okay.
WoW is absolutely an MMORPG.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Fucking pugs.
Fucking pugs.
Kids, don't do pugs and stay in school.
Kids, don't be a dick and a pug.
Oh, hey, Alina.
Data?
Why don't WoW nerds eat chocolate?
God.
Okay, Data, why don't WoW nerds eat chocolate?
Because they liked everything better in vanilla. I'm not going to explain it to the people who don't get it. I don't care. I hope I made up that joke, but if I didn't, I'm going to be pissed.
You became a WoW nerd. Like, I'm so proud that we made
I really did. Really, like, this time last year, I wasn't even playing. I was still...
No, you were making fun of it.
And now I'm like, everybody else is stupid, and I'm the only one who knows how to play. Well, to be fair, I can mage like a boss, so...
Oh.
There was such guild drama last night. Oh my fucking god.
Oh, guild drama.
This rogue fucking... He lost...
Shut up, fuck rogues!
I hate rogues. Fuck you guys. You guys are assholes in PvP. But he won a tier token off of a boss, and then another one dropped, and there were three rolls on it, and... It was a Death Knight, me, and the rogue, right, for the chess piece. Mm-hmm. The Death Knight won it, said, it's not even an upgrade, gives it to me, and I don't even remember his justification for this, but he starts throwing a shit, like, he rolled a 7, and I rolled, like, an 83, and I was the second highest roll, that's why he gave it to me, but he starts bitching about, I don't know, he was like, oh, yeah, that's what it was, it's a bigger upgrade for me. And I'm like, but if I get this, then I finally get my tier set bonus. And he's like, but it's a bigger... And he, like, spent 15 minutes bitching about this. And I'm like, just
and
take
this is
it
why
and change your tampon.
Drink.
I'm like, just fucking take it. I don't even care anymore. I mean, I'm going to be fucking pissed at you. But yeah, so now there's new loot rules in the guild. Like,
and just this is this my guildmaster's drink. I mean, seriously...
have you GM'd before?
Fuck no.
Because my guild's like, why aren't you in my guild, by the way?
Because I don't play WoW until MOP comes out.
Fine. But well, anyway, when that comes out...
I quit the tier before my legendary. When I found out that it came out, like, when we stopped... I was so mad.
There was a guy in one of my guilds who was going after his legendary for the Dragonwrath staff. Mm-hmm. And then he quits playing. So I'm like next in line, but we're never doing Firelands. We're just doing Dragon Soul progression. We keep getting stuck on Blackhorn. It's such
And you can't do it in LFR, right? Like, you can't...
No.
You can't LFR Dragonlance.
Raid Finder right now is only for Dragon Soul, but I think they're talking about making difficulties for older raids, such as Firelands or some of the other Cataclysm raids that I haven't even been on any other Cataclysm raids other than Firelands and Dragon Soul.
I mean, we wouldn't want them to take, you know, development time away from actual future content, so...
Yeah, but this might be, like, what they're working on along with Pandaria, so... I would actually like to see a nerfed version of Firelands. Cue, like, every single hardcore WoW player writing and saying, Firelands already got nerfed! I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? I still can't beat Ragnaros. I don't like how people bitch about, like, how making it easier for guilds to progress through raids is a bad thing. Everybody can get it. And I'm like,
people bitch about everything. Like, there's no such thing as a WoW thing that didn't get bitched about.
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like, why not make it so well, then there's no challenge to it. And I'm like, okay, I can see, but that's what 25-man heroic mode is for, okay?
I started MMOs in Square Enix's Final Fantasy XI. I do not want to hear any WoW player bitch about, because Blizzard is, oh my god, you know, it panders to its fan. Like, everything is for casual players. Everything players ever wanted. Squeenix wouldn't let us have a Windor. We couldn't use our computers when playing their game.
Huh.
So, I don't want to hear it.
Okay. Settle down. Breathe.
Speaking of Squeenix.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I have a public service announcement.
Dear.
Kind of. But, you know, Final Fantasy 13-2 came out recently.
Fuck me.
And I will say this about this game's biggest problem is that it's a sequel to 13, because 13 sucked. And I think so many people will
Shall I link to the video where I set it on fire?
Yeah, exactly. And I think so many people aren't going to give 13-2 a chance when it's so... such a better game. Like, it's, for the first time in years, it's a decent Final Fantasy game. And it's probably...
I played the demo. It's not that good.
No, it, you know what, we...
They did fix a couple of things in the battle system that I liked. I will go that far. I like how you, I really like how the party leader, if the party leader dies, the whole game isn't over anymore. Mm-hmm. I like the faster paradigm shifts, but you really, it's still just an X-mashing game. There's not much I don't know, and some of the characters are just really fucking annoying. Well,
see, the thing is, like, 13-2 got rid of pretty much all the known characters. It's got, the new characters are actually not, like, you don't, the boy is not emo, and the girl is not, like,
okay, but here's the other thing. I looked on YouTube for the ending.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bullshit ending.
Mm.
That is a real...
Coming 2014, Final Fantasy 13-3.
Yeah.
They
but I think
seriously
that's...
are going to do it. They seriously
but didn't they plan it from the beginning? Didn't they say it was going to be a trilogy?
No, there was supposed to be, like, this whole universe, like
true.
Final Fantasy XII and Ivalice, and you know how Tactics was set in Ivalice.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Revenant Wings, and blah, 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 and all that shit. So they were supposed to have, there actually are other games set in the Final Fantasy XIII universe. What's that one that was coming out for PSP?
There's also a cell phone game that the Japanese get that we don't, or something like that,
yeah,
I think.
Well, there's some PS, it's not, oh, Final Fantasy Type-0. That's the one. That's supposed to be set in the Final Fantasy 13 universe. But it's just... they really need to plan things out better, because... I mean, Final Fantasy Versus 13 was supposed to be in development for, like, the longest-ass time. I don't know what they're doing. They're really dragging their asses on this. And then, you know, they took time away from programming 14, and that had, like, the world's worst MMO launch I've ever seen.
Oh my god. Yeah, I wanted that to work so badly. I bought the box. We were in beta. We nostalgia goggles were on, like, and it launches without chocobo mounts.
Yeah.
The chocobo song is my cell phone ring.
Have you heard the new chocobo song in 13-2? What the shit is that?
14 actually had a really nice orchestra. Oh,
When I'm going over the show notes, I'm going to be, like, linking so many different things in the show notes, but
but you know
have
what you
link
do in 13-2? Because your third-party member is a monster, you can have a chocobo stable.
wow, a monster in your party? Gosh, that's not at all like Dragon Quest V.
Well, they own Enix now, right? So they... Okay, on a better note, my husband just pre-ordered Last Story.
Mm-hmm.
Which, the Last Story, Final Fantasy, get it?
Yeah, gee, never heard that one before. For like, the Unlimited, remember when Unlimited Saga came out? I'm like, how many times can you twist this fucking title?
So it was created, I don't know, produced, directed, or something, by basically by the people who made the original Final Fantasies who've left right. Square since then.
Yeah.
And they've made their own game, their own RPG.
I know Mars Girl's sitting there, like, furiously masturbating about it on Twitter. Like, oh, I want this game! And I saw the graphics. I'm not going to be able to play it because it's Wii only.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the graphics and I'm like, holy shit, that looks nice for the Wii. That looks really nice.
We could probably afford a Wii. $99.95.
There's no fucking games that I want for it at all.
Yeah.
And that's why I got the PS3 and more stuff.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, I theoretically bought it for my husband, and I was, because, you know, he's a big God of War fan, and God of War 3 is PS3 exclusive, so.
Yeah. You're such a nice wife.
Yeah, and then I took over the PS3 for, you know, until I discovered Warcraft. So.
And now who uses PS3 the most? Me.
Well, us, because we're using it for, it's our Netflix machine.
Yeah.
It's called being roommates with benefits, right, George?
Oh my fucking god. Oh my god. Okay, just no. Anyway, moving on. Oh, but speaking of Netflix, Doctor Who Season 6 is finally on Netflix!
Woo! Sorry.
Never, ever do that again.
I apologize to our listeners.
Hey, George, knock, knock.
Can you apologize to my ears?
George, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doctor.
Doctor who?
Get it. Get it. I'm not funny.
No.
I love all this new stuff you're into this year. You know, wow, Doctor.
I know.
You're like you upgraded your nerddom. You've leveled up as a nerd.
Do-do-do-do. That was supposed to be the Zelda noise, and I don't know what.
Somebody splicing the Final Fantasy noise.
No. But it was like, yeah, I kind of, like, realized that I was limiting myself in nerddom by sitting there like, oh, I don't want to watch that. I want to get into this. I don't want to get... Because I know I'm going to obsess over it. But, yeah, I'm starting to realize that I should just at least give shit more of a try. You know what I mean?
Harry Potter!
I have. Sorry. To be fair, I did that years ago when the first book came out. And I read the first chapter and a half, and I'm like, eh. It didn't grab me. But I gave it a chance. I don't know. I've never seen the movies. Maybe I'll watch the movies.
I really don't see how the movie would do anything for anybody who hasn't read the book.
Yeah.
Well,
if you have
no idea, how wouldn't you like to see my reaction?
Well, it's just, I feel
it's
like
gonna
there's
be a
so
dare?
Much cut out of them that they wouldn't, I don't understand how they make sense to anybody who hasn't read the books.
I think
that makes sense to me.
You know what? I think that's a dare.
No, we're watching Star Trek next.
Okay.
Oh, do you want to mention that order that our Twitter feed has the Star Trek, Star Wars movie order?
I never read that, actually, to be honest with you. There's supposed to be some, like, Star Wars watching order that Kevin was talking about.
Yeah.
Go ahead, link that.
You can share the link in the show notes.
Okay.
Tessa and Kevin were talking about it. A person came up, Machete, came up with the order where you watch the... Well, let's number them, you know, 1 to 6 the way George Lucas numbers them, just for ease of reference.
Yes, because that's...
That's the number. Just so there's no confusion. When I say number 3, I mean, like, the first original movie. Mm-hmm. So you watched episode 3...
Talk about them in their titles. Like, the first Star Wars is episode 4. Because I'm going to get confused otherwise. It's like talking about the Final Fantasy games.
A New Hope, Empire.
Yeah, where
how about their titles?
Okay, just okay. And you, okay. So, I now have to make sure. So, you watch A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
And then you...
And then you're happy.
And then you drop The Phantom Menace because it sucked and you can listen to the Weird Al song. And then you watch Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. And then you watch Return of the Jedi. And what it is you get to the point... Okay, this is kind of stupid, but there's no spoilers for these movies, right? Like, everybody knows. It's like...
Yeah,
there's going to be that one person on Twitter.
Okay,
you're being spoiled. Warning. Okay, go ahead.
So you get to the point where Darth Vader goes, Luke, I am your father. And then you basically go into the Darth Vader backstory, and then you wrap up the series.
And I can see that.
That's except, a suggested order, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And in that case, I would you would have to see episode 2.
Here's the thing.
I'm so sorry.
I never saw Attack of the Clones.
Good for you.
I went straight from Phantom Menace, you know, like everybody saw it in theaters. I saw Phantom Menace, skip ahead many, many years to the time where Revenge of the Sith comes out on DVD. I watched that. I didn't miss a thing.
No.
I'm like, oh, okay, they got married. Uh-huh. Nothing happened. But I read in Cleo's Movies in 15 Minutes book, she does Attack of the Clones in 15 uh-huh. minutes. And I think I understood that movie more just from her her little snark fest than I would have watching it.
Oh, okay, so the made of fail order is A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Weird Al, Cleo Linda, Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi.
There you go.
I like it. It'll give Cleo more residuals, too.
And then read some of the Extended Universe stuff that continues.
Extended Universe stuff. I don't want to. I'm not that into Star Wars.
I know. It's still awesome, though.
I know that you know, Han and Leia have kids, and they turn out to be Jedis, and one of them goes evil.
Yep.
Uh-huh. That's about all you need to know. Don't they kill Chewbacca?
And then you play Swoter, is what you do.
I can't afford another goddamn MMO.
I baited it. It didn't grab me.
I can't play it on my laptop. It's too graphics intensive.
Well, get a decent system. Oh, you're going to build your own computer, aren't you?
Yeah, sometime later this year.
Man, I got to do that for Carl, because the one that we have is like this 2004 Dell. And we upgraded it for Christmas, and he still doesn't use it. Like, we upgraded it won't even take more than 2 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
You mean it's a Dell back from when Dude Get a Dell was a tagline?
Yes, and it was top of the fucking line back then. And you know what? It still works. I've used that as my backup computer when this one is fried. Which doesn't really happen anymore because I take good care of it. Yes, I do. Even though I updated your drivers the other day and you went all snippy on me. Yes, you did. What? What? Give me that look.
How can you tell how I'm looking at you?
I know you.
To be fair, she does this to the cats, too.
Oh, I do it to my cats.
I think I take better care of my computer than I do the cats. At least you don't have to clean up my computer shit all the time.
That's true.
Sorry, she's very old. Anyway, is there anything else you guys wanted to mention before we take off? Because I think we're coming up on the tail end here.
I'm trying to think of anything geek-related. I know today Mobius just died.
I don't know who that is.
Mobius, one of the most important Silver Surfer artists.
I'm just. Wouldn't it be awesome if he owned a strip club? Get it?
No, please explain the joke, Dana.
They're endlessly taking off their clothes and putting them back on again in front of you.
And they do it anyway, so I don't have to tip them.
Maybe you could find another girlfriend there.
I'm kidding. I wouldn't tip him anyway.
How is your stripper ex-girlfriend?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her in years. That's the way it should be.
I have so many people who have stripper ex-girlfriends.
Yeah. And none of them are happy with them. I wonder why.
Because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, off of the hate fest, Moebius, he influenced a lot of modern comic book artists' work. He even had a mainstream movie reference back in the 90s, the movie with Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington in the submarine.
So,
Crimson Tide. Crimson Tide. I mean, this guy, he's pretty much credited for how the modern Silver Surfer works as far as his galaxy or his universe.
See, I don't really keep up with Silver Surfer. Character never really grabbed me.
Myself either, but still, he was very much important. He's very much an influence, and his passing should be at least mentioned. There's also a few other people who comic book artists who passed recently. The guy who created Batgirl, or co-created Batgirl. Fuck you, Bob Kane.
Oh, what was his name? I know who you're talking about, and it's totally slipping my mind.
Yeah. Sheldon Moldoff passed away at the age of 91. So he had a nice long life. He was the ghost artist for Bob Kane on the Batman comics during the 50s and 60s.
I thought that was Bill Finger.
Bill Finger was original Batman Inception, 30s and 40s.
Oh, no, that's not who I'm thinking of. Jack Sprang.
Jack Sprang came after, Moldoff.
Okay.
Or Moldoff, sorry. His name wrong. But anyway, Moldoff created a lot of important characters that we very much know and love today. Poison Ivy.
Oh.
Mr. Zero, who became Mr. Freeze.
Right.
Matt Hagen, Clayface from the animated series.
Right.
The original Batgirl, Ace the Bat-Hound, and of course, the legendary Batmite.
Oh, God! Now, when you say the original Batgirl, do you mean Betty Kane? Or do you mean, like, Barbara?
Betty Kane, actually.
Nice, okay.
Because this would have been the 50s and 60s. She wasn't created until... Barbara Gordon wasn't created until late 60s, I think.
I'm going to look that up.
Go
Wikipedia!
Ahead. To Wikipedia!
Barbara Gordon. Listen to our fantastically well...
19... We are so editing this out.
1967. Detective Comics 359, the million-dollar debut of Batgirl. Actually, she was created by Gardner Fox and Carmine Infantino. So there.
Huh.
Haha. Proved you wrong. Wikipedia says so. It's on the internet. It must be true.
Uh-huh. So...
You were lied to.
Well, that was Barbara Gordon. What about the original Batgirl?
Betty Kane! let's see. She was April 1961. And she was created by... it doesn't say. Huh. Oh, well.
So, basically...
But she was basically... She and Batwoman were introduced to say, like, hey, Batman's not gay.
Pretty much.
No, really.
Yeah.
totally not gay.
No, she was created by Sheldon Moldoff. It says so right here.
Where?
On the side, created by Batgirl, Bob Kane, and Sheldon Moldoff.
Okay, well, I didn't...
So, mostly there. Sheldon Moldoff, then.
Can't read things.
So,
do you want to do quick reactions to before Watchmen, since we're on the comic?
No! I don't want... Look... All right, here's my take on it. I'm sure it's interesting, but Watchmen was really a very, very self-contained, fully formed story.
Unless you consider the fact they were based off Charleston Comics characters.
Yes, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the story itself. I think all of the necessary backstory is right there in the novel. And it had its own... I just don't feel like this could benefit from an expanded universe, personally. But, of course, everybody's going to go out and read them. I'm not going to. It's a pretty clear cash grab. And I'm not sure why, because Watchmen wasn't, it didn't really do that well as a movie. Although I loved it. I fucking loved Watchmen the movie. I don't know why it got so panned.
Did it?
It did.
Big Blue Wang.
Big Blue Wang. Wouldn't you love to be the guy who just sat there, you know, editing that?
It depends on the guy, really.
Lead Wang designer. The motion.
And you know the actor revealed it. It's like, well, can't you make it a little bigger?
Yeah. I don't need to
it's in the contract. My
anything,
Wang has
but...
to look like
Lower Manhattan, as I call it. I don't know. What do you think about Before Watchmen?
Okay, this is the as somebody who wasn't who didn't read the original when it came out because, you know, wasn't living here. Well, I wasn't living here. I was in the other side of the Iron Curtain.
Well, it was also like 1980-something when it came out. I didn't read it, so what did...
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, right? I'm not, like, sitting here talking to...
No, when I heard about the movie, I decided I wanted to know the comic as well. Sorry, the graphic novel. So,
Good.
Yeah, I feel like I've exhausted my outrage and just rage playing at this modern thing we have where everything is a remake, reboot, redo, you know, sequels, prequels.
Reimagining.
So I kind of like, it doesn't surprise me because what else are they going to do? Give money to an original idea?
I'm getting kind of like, that's been getting stale for years. Honestly.
It was stale for years. The problem is that suddenly there are remakes that were getting budgets. And I blame Psycho. Because that
Don't
really started
all.
It.
Don't we all? Well, there's been remakes way before that.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just, I mean, like,
And to be fair, there's been, you know, reimaginings and adaptions of plays for years and years and years.
But it's been getting really prevalent lately.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we went to the Spider-Man movie, you know, this reboot has happened within 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to give movies like a 20-year buffer before you start remaking it. Which, you know, and unfortunately, you know, I was bitching about that, and I'm like, yeah, well, that makes Nightmare on Elm Street fair game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think 20 years is enough for, like, a generation, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. You're going to get even more incensed because, I mean, after The Dark Knight Rises, they're going to reboot Batman again.
What?
What else can they do?
Well, because...
No. That's just your theory, or is there a source for this?
I buy into it.
Yeah, it it's my theory, but...
Okay. All right.
Look at it this way.
George, don't do that to me, because I'm going to sit there throwing citation needed stickers at you if you keep doing that.
Christopher Nolan has already said this is his last film. Christian Bale said if Christopher Nolan's not there, he's not going to come back as Batman.
Fine.
Nolan likes to have finality to his movies, in case you haven't noticed.
Okay.
Again, this is all theory. But based on everything else, and considering the fact that, according to sources, which I will gladly post up in show notes, so you can post up in show notes.
Okay.
That this is a movie that ends, or begins 6 years after Dark Knight, or The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of time for Batman. And plus, what else can you do with Christopher Nolan's universe that he created?
Here's why I buy the fact that there will be a new Batman, and that's because Marvel got their universe and their Avengers, and you know DC wants it.
They've been trying that for years, though.
Marvel's been kicking ass with movies, and DC just can't get it off the ground. But I sort of explain that by saying that Marvel's got its own in-house movie studio.
Mm. They did.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Now they're Disney.
Huh. I'm not sure if they took over the movie division. Huh. And yet the Avengers still looks good.
Well, I mean,
I guess they put Disney money behind it.
They put Disney money behind it, but basically Marvel Studios operates a lot like Pixar. In that Pixar can create their own movies, and Disney basically has a hands-off approach to it. And somebody's answering machine is going.
I'm very sorry.
No problem. So, basically the way I've read that it's going down is Marvel Studios is handled like Pixar. It's hands-off. You can do what you want unless it starts to really fail, then we'll come and swoop in and take over. Pixar has a great track record. Marvel Studios, surprisingly, still has a great track record.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if anybody has watched any of the early 70s, 80s, 90s movies from Marvel, you're shocked.
Yeah, I do kind of own the original Fantastic Four Roger Corman movie.
Which is surprising, because that was never released.
Well, that's I bought a bootleg off of my comic book guy back in like 2005, I want to say. It was before I moved down here. But
I have seen the 90s Captain America movie.
I haven't.
I weep for me.
I do anyway. I mean, I love you. You're my favorite roommate ever.
No chance.
Yeah, and, I think when did Marvel first start making the good movies? Do you want to sort of point Blade. At Spider-Man 1?
No, Blade.
Blade?
1997.
What came after that?
Oh, God.
It was Blade, it was X-Men, and then it was
X-Men. Spider-Man. God, yeah. Yes. Okay, all right, fine. My memory is just for shit right now. I need more caffeine.
Yeah, so it was Blade, X-Men, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that was a... They just can't get Fantastic Four right.
It's like Marvel itself. It can't get Fantastic Four.
Do you think there's some superheroes you just can't put on the big screen, like that just won't work?
I think Fantastic Four, yeah. They're people... I don't think they make it sci-fi enough, and I don't think they make it so that it's more about the character. Fantastic Four is a real good character piece, if you do it right. It's not about the superheroics. It's about these people are a family.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to see Joss Whedon do it.
Well, he's already doing Avengers.
I know, and now maybe they might give him a shot at something else, but I think he could do a really good job if he was handed the Fantastic Four. I actually want to see him write a Fantastic Four comic.
I want to see him write I want to see him direct an X-Men movie.
Oh my God, that would be so good. Because, I mean, I basically quit buying Astonishing X-Men after he left. Like, yes. I don't care what happens in the comic.
I love Warren Ellis, but yeah, you're not topping Joss Whedon.
I didn't read any of Warren Ellis' Astonishing run.
No, I didn't either.
Oh well.
But, I mean, Alina, you asked what couldn't they adapt?
Infinity
Gauntlet?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, Secret apparently Wars. Apparently they couldn't adapt Phoenix Saga. But you know what? They did it perfectly well in the cartoon.
Yes, they did.
I think the cartoon really, really captured those early X-Men stories because they adhered so closely to the script. And cartoons can afford to be a little bit more fantastical than a movie can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, throw some realism in there.
Let's be fair. Not everything is going to work in every medium.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
It's
and Johnny Torch is Captain America now, so it all worked out, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you just say Johnny Torch?
Isn't he? Oh, sorry. I will admit... The Human Torch, that's what I meant. You know what I mean.
Oh, that was adorable.
Well,
yeah,
it was.
I will admit to being a comics noob. Like, I do read some and have read, but you can laugh at me as a comics noob. I will give
you
that.
Not at all. We welcome you with open arms.
Oh.
Okay, God damn it, George. I just started hearing that fucking Journey song.
Mission accomplished.
I'm officially ending this episode on you pissing me off. Thank you, Alina, for coming on. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. George.
Yes.
My room. I'm going to punch you in the face.
No, you're not.
No,
you still have to cook dinner.
Right. I'll punch you in the face after dinner. Just remind me.
Okay. I'll make sure to do that.
This has been episode 52 of Made a Fail. Everybody, thank you for showing up, and we will see you next month.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hello, everybody. It's your editor, Devin. Like what you heard? Hate it and want to yell at us? Come over to madeafail.net. There, you'll find a comment section for this episode and links to our friends. Madeoffail.net, all one word. And to my fellow band nerds, who are currently performing choreographed dance moves with mimed instruments, rock on. Hope your teams are still dancing. Mine are.
I will wage a war on Fahrenheit because it makes no fucking sense.
No,
it does.
It really does.
It does to me.
I mean, what the fuck's a 32? Why would water freeze at 30? What is 32? Freezes at 0, boils at 100. Makes a perfect...
The higher the number, the hotter it is. 80 is hot.
So data's into old people.
Usually not.
You know,
no, definitely not.
See, I told you it doesn't make sense.